welcome to the Josephine County Board of Commissioners weekly business session. Today is October the 12th, 2016. It's 5:30 p.m. Actually, the real Columbus date, I believe, is October 12th. Okay, if you please stand, we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance. First item on the administrative action is item 1A, approval of a contract for personal services with HDR Engineering Services for seismic assessment of county bridges. And we have Mr. Dijon Bay, right? Close.
Good.
Hey, I took French in school, but I went. Been a long time.
Good evening, commissioners. This contract is for assessment of about 26 of our bridges and a little bit of background on it. We've heard rumors through the state legislature that they're possibly going to have some sort of seismic funding package in the transportation package. We want to be first in line for any possible funding. So we selected a handful of our bridges and we went through a long process to find a consultant to do this work. I believe there's 26 bridges on the list. We picked the major roads, basically in what we call our District 3, which is south of the river, but not perfectly near Key Junction. And then we picked kind of parallel to I-5 north up to Hugo. So that's how we selected the bridges. It kind of picks up a larger area of the population. It's a good starting point. We also want to leave some bridges to be assessed if the funding package is for assessing bridges. So we still have a lot of bridges that we still need to be assessed. So we're not by any means assessing all of our bridges. A lot of this is in conjunction with our emergency manager. She's part of the interview panel. Whether it's a Cascadia event, the big 9.0, or if it's even a 6, there will be some damage to some of our bridges. And with this study, hopefully, will give us places to repair that are cheap. Some that will probably be more expensive. In some cases, it will probably be cheaper to replace the bridge than to upgrade it. But if we can get started on the process, if there is funding available for this, again, we want to be right out the gate with any possible applications. And do you have any other questions, I guess?
Thank you. Any question?
I think this is a responsible assessment of our potential liability. We've speculated over the last couple of years since the, and I'm reluctant to mention 4175, which was the state legislation that provided for counties who were in distress to use those dollars that were in, usually in public works for public safety issues, road patrols. But we've got the smallest amount of reserves probably out of those counties that are allowed to access those funds. And we've talked for years about the potential liability to the county. Now, these state funds are often requiring a local match. And if we had 26 bridges, there's about 100, if I'm right, in Josephine County. If half of those require some sort of work in order to make them seismic resistant or hold up to a seismic event, we're gonna be on the hook for likely a match component to that. What I would hate is that there's state or federal money to come in to make our area more resilient in a Cascadia or a flood event or something like that that we know is going to happen eventually. Hopefully the flood event doesn't happen this weekend. That we don't have those local dollars to match with these available state funds would be terrible. That we wouldn't, because having it fixed on the forefront rather than trying to replace a $1 million bridge is so much more cost effective. So I really appreciate Public Works being proactive in this effort and making sure that we're working with those other agencies like emergency management to make sure that those are the ones that they would deem as being most vulnerable and necessary. A lot of times, like we're closing a bridge on the Lake Selmac spillway. there's an alternate route, Deer Creek. Where there isn't an alternate route, you really want to focus on that bridge, which is what I think you guys have done with your assessment. Those places where there's no other access to that area but this going over this bridge.
Right.
And that makes a lot of sense. So I really appreciate you guys' effort and looking forward to this. And hopefully this funding package comes through and is a benefit to the county.
One curiosity question. A lot of these bridges are like 1965 and earlier, and that kind of, I mean, they're ancient in relative terms. But there's a one on Sparrowhawk Creek, it's a 1998 bridge on Leonard Road. Is that some of, because of the other expansion or something, or you know that particular story of that particular bridge?
It was replaced just before I got here. I don't know the background of why it was replaced or anything. It's on the list because it still predates the current earthquake standards. We're hoping that it's if a normal bridge is $20,000 to look at, we're hoping this is like a $2,000 bridge to look at, because we do know what the standards were that were applied at that time.
Yeah, because it's 48 foot long, so it's longer than a lot of the other ones that are on there. But I was just curious if it had been somehow impacted by lice or whatever.
What we did was we just took everything that wasn't to the current earthquake standards.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember, but it's about 02. Anything prior to that, we wanted to have on that list. And then, again, we're hoping that those are just really quick.
I commend you for having a prioritized list of these bridges so that you have ahead of the game, if that money becomes available, you know exactly which ones you can go down and check off.
Yeah. We picked the area south of the river because that's where the hospital is, and then obviously just north because it is where the major population is. And got the Merlin out there.
The last thing I'd say is that we have been working on this project being resilient for quite a while. I was thinking of the bridge that we're looking at up in Merlin, but we're going through the RV Act in order to try to get that one on the list for funding. It's an old bridge, and it would provide an alternate route should I-5 become encumbered between, I believe, the 61 and the Hugo exit.
Right.
So I can't remember the name of that bridge. But I think we've been working on these kind of with emergency management on these kind of priorities. But that's our current funding stream, which is very slow, and we're looking to try to get one bridge addressed through that. So these other ones is a much more aggressive approach, holistic. So really appreciate you guys working on this. I think it's money and time well spent.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, item 1B, approval of grant award 2016 DCVX0074 with the Bureau of Justice Assistance in Josephine County for Josephine County Drug Court.
Yes, and Mr. Guyaran, who has a most important meeting, asked me to fill in for him tonight, so. It is a $300,000 grant. Are you here to talk about this too, Rick?
That would be great if you would.
I mean, you happen to know something about drug court.
Particularly drug court.
Good evening. My name is Rick Jones. I'm the executive director of Choices Counseling Center. We've been doing Josephine County Drug Court since 1996, before that bridge was built. I'm here to tell you that we wouldn't really have much of a drug court if it wasn't for grants. I get a few bucks from community corrections to kind of do drug court on a daily basis, the reporting to the court and some urine screens and those kind of things. But a lot of the treatment and the family work that we do and a lot of the intensity, the expansions of our drug court have always been because of grants, whether that be through CJC or BJA. And so recently, it's been awesome. We had a current BJA grant that we were doing some expansion with, doing some case management, some transitional housing funds and some residential funds. And we had gotten a late start on it, so we applied for an extension to see if we could extend that grant. And we got the extension on that. And at the same time as we were notified of that, we were notified that we got this other BJA grant, which is the one I'm here to talk about tonight. Kurt Brust, myself, Judge Baker, the drug court coordinator, Nate from Corrections. We all worked together on this grant, put it together. And it's an expansion of our drug court that allows us to not only treat more people, but to also enhance case management, which is with the current climate, with the current clients that we have, we really need folks to kind of help wrap our clients up. Oftentimes the counselors are kind of stuck to their desk, you know, doing counseling sessions and hanging out at the office doing paperwork. So a case manager kind of comes along aside and helps go see somebody over at the jail, or helps to get somebody over to the sobering center or to the doctor's appointment or something like that. We also spend a lot of time trying to make sure that the families of our drug court participants are addressed also. Because, you know, it used to be back when we first started drug court, you could get all the way through drug court and we wouldn't really know what the heck was going on at home. And every once in a while, a PO would go over and, you know, find out that the husband or the wife or some of the kids were actually using drugs or drinking there. Nobody really knew that it was, because they can come in and kind of tell us what we want to hear every day. And don't go to their house or at least reach in, you don't know what's really going on. So over the years, we've expanded our drug court to include the families, to include the children. We found out that our drug court participants averaged about 2 children apiece, which was staggering. Some of them were really little, and some of them were bigger. And so we really wanted to make sure that we reach in and deal with those families, and we use these grants to do that. This particular grant also helps us move into the synthetic drug reality. I don't know how much people are educated about some of the new drugs that are being used on the market. What we find out about our caseload is that they will tend to use things that we're not testing for. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense to you guys, but I've been dealing with it for about 40 years. And so Kratom, Flocka, Spice, 2K, those drugs that are actually synthetics. Kratom is not a synthetic, it actually comes from Thailand. The federal government just classified it, so it's now illegal, but it was being sold in Pakistan. And some of these drugs that really aren't on our list to test for, this grant actually is specifically to help us test for those drugs, because it's kind of expensive. It's a little more than the routine, you know, drug test that we're doing every day, so we needed to have a little extra to help us do that. So that's exciting. We also, because of the opioid epidemic, if you will, find it necessary to support more medication-assisted treatment in our community. As some of you probably know, we do have a new program opening up probably by Thanksgiving. They're waiting for the DEA to come around the 1st of November to approve their facility and their process. And so we'll actually have a program here in Josephine County, which I think, as a treatment provider, is going to be much more effective than what we've been doing, sending people down I-5. I don't need to tell a long story about how ineffective that's been, but I'm pleased that I'm going to have a little bit more understanding about what's going on with my clients here in Josephine County. And this grant has an amount of money set aside to help leverage people into that program until they actually get on the Oregon Health Plan or those kind of things. There's also stuff in this grant that I'm probably not as privy to because it's not part of the treatment part. I think there's a probation officer that's funded in this piece. Probably a clerk at the courthouse also. Drug court is a team event. We're busy tracking people, creating statistics. It's a process by where the district attorney's office and the local attorneys refer people. We're all working together to try to wrap these folks up and kind of move them in a direction that will benefit them, the community, and their families.
Question?
Without going into a whole long medication miasma, Flocka, could you compare that? Because a lot of folks have no understanding what that is, and I have a minimal. We're familiar with meth, or we're familiar with heroin. Where is Flocka in this scale of things?
I believe Flocka is a synthetic, similar to what would have been referred to in the day of maybe MDMA or ecstasy. But it is a powerful synthetic that actually causes people to hallucinate. it's fairly toxic, so people end up in the ER. It's not a pleasant high necessarily, but it is an altered state. And so young people tend to use whatever will give them an altered state, even though it might put them in the hospital. Actually had ER doctors asking me, you know, what we were doing about FACA. Had an argument with a toxicologist about whether or not it was in our neighborhood or not, so I sent him a copy of a state police report where they had actually arrested somebody with it. So it's a synthetic, you know, what one of the things that happens, and it would be a long story, is that scientists make these chemical compounds that don't get approved by the FDA or don't actually go anywhere after their research. It gets put on a shelf, and then somebody comes along and says, hey, let's reformulate that and sell it as a textile at Magic Man. And then for a while, it's kind of legal and available, and people don't know what it is, so people go buy it. And it lasts long enough for somebody to make a ton of money before the FDA or the DEA comes in and says, you can't sell that. That stuff's bad. And FLACA would be one of those. Kratom, on the other hand, is a drug that's actually grown in Thailand, but it's illegal in Thailand. But shipped over here, it's a cross between a stimulant and an opiate. But it is actually an organic plant that is sold here. Actually, up until recently, you can't legally buy it now, and used as a tea. And in low doses, will stimulate, and in higher doses, will create more of an opiate effect. But there are these, you know, Spice 2K being a synthetic marijuana that's a lot of marijuana users don't really like it because it's too potent. But of course, young people, they're looking for an altered state, so they'll, you know, choke themselves out, use synthetics, whatever. What we want to do is we want to at least have the access to test for those drugs in our drug court, so at least we know that our clients aren't using something that we traditionally haven't been testing for in the past.
Thank you very much. Okay, requests and comments from citizens, and it looks like we have one citizen. Please come on up, unless one of you wants to speak again.
Hello, my name is David Everest, Secretary of Mining for Twin Cedar Mining District. And this is just a short notice. Notice to all the parties. Commissioner Herron nominated County Attorney Wally Hicks as liaison to my mining district and the Board of Josephine County Commissioners, and I agreed. And Commissioner Herr is on the Siskiyou Resource Committee, and where Mr. Hicks will be guiding him on the resource law, and I'll be helping with government-to-government coordination over mining issues, and, appointing a primary trustee. And so I talked to Wally Hicks the other day, and again today, and he said he would be, as soon as he could get it done, getting us a memorandum of understanding. He doesn't need any more board approval because it's in the record. And as far as letter of memorandum, then he'll be sending that out to the federal agencies. And since you guys are a state agency, he'll be recognizing probably Galise Mining District and Waldo as well. I don't know of any others yet, but they'll be coming along. And so basically I have that for the record, and I wanted to thank the board for that.
Anyone else?
I'm going to say that we're going to have a catastrophic failure of the grid system, because where I've been driving by, I get very huge static fields that I get through my radio, because I have an analog radio system, and it shows me down here on 7th Street where Mach 4 is, where a set of transformers are feeding Mach 4, three of them, in a street light, and they're drawing too much power, and they're all over the county. You go out to where I'm at on the south end of the county, in Josephine County, they have them there, and they have extreme voltage loss. If we get a major storm, it could be catastrophic. And how I know this is I used to work in the power utility field as a groundman, and I know, and looking at the transformers, I can see they're 40 years old, and they're about ready to fail. I just thought I'd mention it. And one other thing, since I've been hearing all the scary clowns getting arrested. How come they haven't arrested Mrs. Clinton, the scariest clown of all? Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak? Bring it back to the board. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'd make a motion on the admin calendar item 1A if you're ready.
Yes, I am.
I'd move for approval of the contract for personal services with HDR Engineering Services for seismic assessment of county bridges.
And I'll second that.
Good. I think this is a very good thing. Any further discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. 1B.
And I'll go ahead and move for approval of grant award 2016-DC-BX-0074 with the Bureau of Justice Assistance and Josephine County for Josephine County Drug Court.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion?
I just think it's a great illustration of how several different agencies working for the same goal can work together and come up with a much better product than any of them would have been able to come up with individually.
Well, I would really like to see us be able to expand these kinds of programs in the future, because there's so many people that commit crime simply because they're addicted, they're trying to get money, and they end up in the justice system when they really should have been through a counseling and rehab program. I think it's just too devastating. So anytime we can expand and improve on these programs, I think it's a good thing. Okay, roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Moving on the consent calendar, item 3A. These are the minutes. The LUBA remand hearing of August the 15th, 2016. County Administration Workshop, September 15th, 2016. Weekly Business Session, September 21st, 2016. And Executive Session, September 21st, 2016. If I may, I would like to split out the remand hearing from these other three. As I was at the remand hearing on the 15th, but I was out of town on the other three, so I can't vote on those three. So I'd like to split those out when we vote on these.
We typically don't make exceptions for commissioners who are not here unless there's something you don't like that was captured within those meetings, but otherwise you don't have.
Well, I don't know what the agenda was or what the discussion was, but I was for remand hearing, and I think it's critical that I do vote on that one. We have
broken out remand, LUBA planning minutes, because those can be challenged and they're different.
So we shall break those out. Okay, thank you. So we will have the 3A, and then we'll have 3A1 will be the LUBA hearing, and then 3A2 will be the others. Work?
Yeah, and I failed to mention in Commissioner Heck's motion on item 1B that you need to be designated as the chair to sign on behalf of the board. That's usually part of the motion, just kind of an ad hoc vote, but I think that we're aware of that, that we know that the board is comfortable with that.
Okay, do we need to make a motion on that?
I don't think so. I think as long as we're comfortable with just recognizing that, we'll be set.
Because I don't mind doing it.
Okay, great.
All right. 3B, resolution number 2016-063 in the matter of the Josephine County Mental Health Advisory Board, adoption of revised bylaws. Commissioner Heck.
And this is a mental health advisory board to the Board of Commissioners, is reducing the size of the numbers of meetings from 9 meetings to 7 meetings a year. And this is what they have requested to do, and they put it all together for a while.
Item 3C, 2016 fund exchange agreement with Oregon Department of Transportation for Merlin Road Improvements, Sanitarium Road to Robertson Bridge Road, for agreement number 31722. And we have Chuck with us today. Do you wish to address that? Or?
You're listed, Mr. Dijonve, but I'm happy to carry the water.
Well, he's also listed for the next one, which is the intergovernmental agreement on 3150 for the Oregon Department of Transportation.
I wasn't at the admin.
Yeah, so if you would like to just explain quickly what those are.
Certainly. The Merlin, the fund exchange for the Merlin Robertson Bridge improvements, that is to basically put sidewalks down through the Merlin core area on Merlin Road. It's funding that's through the MPO, their exchange funds. We'll have to do a little bit of storm work to get the wheelchair ramps in and so on. But it's, I know that the folks on the TAC for the MPO are really excited by the sidewalks out there.
It'll be a huge improvement.
I think it's going to be a positive program. The reason that this isn't approving the actual project, so to speak, this is just the exchange, as those are federal dollars that come with a fair amount of strings. And so we exchange those federal dollars with the state at 94 cents. The strings are removed because they're now state appropriated dollars. And then we can do things that may not. That's how you, when you're using federal funds, the amount of strings gets you $106,000 bus shelters. Crazy stuff that's required that otherwise, from a practical standpoint, isn't really required for a project of this size.
Right. And in a few months, January, February, I'll be back because they actually did not have enough money to exchange for the project. So I'll be coming back for a little extra money to approve the exchange for the
piece.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, the clarification, but just with emphasis of it, because people can see we're giving up 390 and we're getting 360. How come? And it has to do with the stipulations of all the requirements that the federal money would require us to go through, would cost us most likely a whole
significant
cost additional.
More. It would. You know, we don't have to do any environmental assessments. We don't have to, you know, that was one of the things on the bus shelters, you know, they had to do each site.
Even though they were pre-engineered out of South Dakota, there was that requirement that they each site be specifically engineered.
Yeah.
There's potentially sometimes cultural surveys. There's any number of different kind of.
Not to mention all the paperwork. It's a huge amount of paperwork.
Your estimate that you put forward in the past is somewhere, I mean, this is a fairly routine thing we do, 30%. And I think that could be sometimes conservative, adding to the cost of. So, but it doesn't add necessarily a cost at a state level because they're already doing projects that there's no exception to it. They have to do those kind of things. And they're large projects, and they're you know, the passing lane or something like that was $20 million. It's not little stuff like sidewalks.
Right.
Any other
questions? Okay, thank you.
You could talk about that.
And then the intergovernmental agreement.
The intergovernmental agreement, we have the existing 10-year agreement with ODOT for them to do the oversized overweight permits, and then we sign them. It's the agreement, how that works, is expiring. And basically, we're just changing the expiration date for 10 more years. So that's everything currently that we're doing will be continued. So
if you're here long enough, Madam Chair, you see these things. I wasn't aware of this. Other counties retained that authority, and I don't remember when, but sometime recently somebody was talking about needing to sign off on an overweight, you know, kind of a deal. I was like, I'm sure they happen in Josephine County. I've just never done one and stuff. And so come to find out, this is why and how we, the Board of Commissioners, doesn't do it. And I think it makes a lot of sense because otherwise you're going to have multiple agencies, ODOT and the county, having to sign off on these because nobody's just traveling on a county thoroughfare to be moving a large piece of equipment. They're moving through the city, they're moving on state roads, so why not have one agency who can write off just rather than going to multiple different, makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Yeah. So some months we get 60 to 70 miles per minute. Some are easy, you know, like something that's 11 feet wide, so it's outside the dimensions. Sometimes they're, you know, 280,000 pounds. Sometimes they make it, and sometimes they're denied. So.
Yeah, interesting.
Any other questions?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we asked Chuck to come in here to explain these because some of it is a little off the chart as far as being typical explanations. Okay, item 3E, order number 2016-045, in the matter of the sale of county land remaining unsold following sheriff's auction of June 16, 2016, and a quit claim deed. And this is from the sale that we had. This was a sale that was done outside of the auction because it didn't sell during the auction. So.
Yeah,
Yeah, so the public might remember that some months back we put 14 properties that the county had acquired mostly through tax foreclosure up for sale, and three of those properties I believe sold that day. They're usually smaller parcels. They're not the most ideal. And so since that time, we've sold quite a few. This is another one. So people can come in after that sale and offer the county some variation of what it was put up for sale originally, and then the county negotiates on the actual final selling price. Mr. Watson and our legal office, who is our property manager, has been doing a really great job of getting these things done after the fact, which takes some marketing on his part to kind of grease the skids and makes these sales what they are. The really nice thing about this, there's two things. It removes potential liability to the county. We've got a number of properties that we're likely to put up for sale this coming November, two of which are encumbered by people who are squatting on them. They've become somewhat abandoned and not good repair because we have hundreds of these properties that we are in need of divesting ourselves of. The other positive thing is that these monies go directly to either one or two departments, either forestry or parks, under state statute. Those are the departments that are available, that are able to benefit from these sales. So otherwise the revenue would be returned to the taxing districts of that particular property. Josephine County as an entity would only generate 7.9% of that revenue, so at a $100,000 sale, we would get $7,900, which is really probably like an administrative overhead for cleaning up the property, putting it up for sale, administering the auction, and all of the paperwork that's required with that. So this one is being sold and for $58,000 and should be a benefit to the buyer and certainly for the parks in the county.
Thank you.
I should mention, I apologize, but just reading this order, so the board is blind when we approve or deny a sale, and so anyone who might know the name of the purchaser, there's a history as a past county employee. Current employees of the county cannot, their employees, their family, cannot purchase through this auction process. We're precluded from that. This is a past employee of the county, but we don't know those things. We're blind in the negotiations when those happen. So it's basically just on the amount of money, and nothing else is really known about the buyer until obviously it's before us today. You may not.
Oh.
Yeah. You may not know that name if she was still working here.
Yeah, she was.
Forget when all these transitions happened. Miss Moy, if that's the Moy that I'm familiar with, she was a past employee director of our HR department.
She's been gone for 3 years. Okay, very good.
Madam Chair, I'd make a motion to approve items 3A, 1, 2, item 3B, C, D,
and I will second that.
All right. Any further discussion? Just for clarification, I want to make sure the Secretary has item 3-1A separated out from the rest of the minutes.
What is 3 item?
It is the LUBA remand hearing of August the 15th.
Sure. What is it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Okay. Any further business to come before the board?
No.
Okay. I want to thank you, Chuck, for being here tonight. And is this your wife?
You
accompanied him here tonight. Thank you for coming. Okay, we are adjourned, and it is. Oh yes, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I guess we must be in a hurry tonight.
It's okay. I am ready too, but I've got 2 minutes.
Do we have any other business? I forgot to ask.
No, you asked that.
Okay, do we have any of the matters from commissioners?
I have something.
I want to make sure I covered all my bases.
To me, if that's, I think it matters to the full board. So the Board of Commissioners in the past, I think this board has also reinforced that position that we're opposed to any creation or expansion of existing monuments or wilderness designations without the coordination with Josephine County government. I think that's specifically how the resolution reads, either of the past or of this current board. I signed one. I think this board has. Anyway, I think we've adopted that idea. We're not opposed to these if they're coordinated and meet with the best interest of the public. But right now there's a proposal, and it's going to be discussed coming up this Friday at 2 p.m., October 14th, over at the Southern Oregon University at the Rogue River Room. It's at 1250 Siskiyou Boulevard. Again, that's at 2 p.m. So the Secretary of Interior, Michael Connor, is going to be in attendance. I believe this is being hosted by Senator Jeff Merkley. It's been rumored that Senator Wyden is going to be there in attendance as well. The subject is to talk about the potential expansion of the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument. And it does take in some of Josephine County. Mostly it's in Jackson County. It depends on which proposal you've seen, but there are some that can take in private land in this. The ONC Association, which Josephine County is a member, has drafted comments and will be submitting those to Senator Merkley and the Secretary that really specifically address the removal of ONC lands from the manageable lands, what the BLM would be in authority to manage, and that the counties would benefit from shared receipts. So it's about, I'm reading this right, the potential expansion would encumber approximately 53,100 acres, 50,000 of which are ONC lands. So there's 53,000 of BLM, 50,000 of those are ONC. That's not acceptable by our means. That's not chump change when you look at the Medford district for what's potentially on the shared. We are on shared receipts as of October 1st of this year. Secure Rural Schools, it was last year. October 1st of last year is when Secure Rural Schools formally expired. And so without a reauthorization, this county and all other 17 ONC counties are really operating on that shared receipts element, and this is 50,900 acres that would be removed from that formula and dramatically impact potentially the revenue share component of those ONC receipts. So we're fairly desperate for every dollar that we can generate. All of those dollars are put through and put back into the public safety system, and so the best and highest use of those resources is what we would continue to advocate for, as much as we can generate as possible. So there are proponents of the no net loss legislative element. So when we are looking at expanding or providing lands for Indian Native American tribes, either unlanded or landed, all of the legislation that the ONC Association supports, and I would assume this Board of Commissioners, has a no-net loss component where that there is some other equal value substitution within the federal lands portfolio of lands that would make ONC whole. So if the tribe was to get 10,000 acres, 10,000 acres is brought from, usually it's public domain lands that put into the portfolio of ONC lands, so we don't lose that. But that's not talked about in the proposed expansion here. That's some of what the comments. They were just approved, I believe, yesterday. Commissioner Colin Roberts from Jackson County is going to be submitting these comments in person on Friday.
Commissioner Hatch?
Yes, we received an unsigned letter, and usually those are in the circular file, but because there were some concerns expressed, I wanted to make a point of clarifying best I can. You're writing a letter for the reason of a concert held on September 30th, 2016, which was approved from Peggy Anderson, whom I feel is not capable of running a facility like our fairgrounds. And then it goes on and talks about how their child brought home marijuana that was picked up at the concert, etc. everybody needs to understand that the fairgrounds is a public utility or public access ground. There was, in the contract with this group that came, it was stipulated that there was no alcohol or marijuana or drugs of any kind to be allowed on the premises. They signed a contract saying that they would not have any marijuana and or alcohol on the premises. They had security, their own security, to wand and to check people coming in to make sure there was not any drugs of any sort as well. It was not, Peggy Anderson did not have anything to do with the concert in any means. The only thing that she had to do with it was it was held at the fairgrounds. The fairgrounds was rented by this group. They had paid for some, they paid for security. We also had security there. And so it's just, you misunderstand when the fairgrounds is used or any other county facility is used. That doesn't mean that we've endorsed it. There was no legal way that we could not allow them to come and use the fairgrounds. That was looked at very strenuously, and it was just not found. And they were allowed to go on with certain restrictions, of which they all agreed to, contractually agreed to. But the violations were there, and they are noted. And I dare say that that performer, as well as the promoter, will most likely not be doing another concert at Josephine County Fairgrounds. But just to clarify that up, it was a total, it wasn't our responsibility in that sense. It wasn't our fault. It was the promoter and the entertainer who went a little bit beyond what they had agreed to do.
Okay. All right. There is no further business before the board. We are adjourned at 6:12 p.m.